loves me. That's why I love him. And he gets sweeter with every passing day. Oh, I was nothing when he found me. With his mercy he surrounds me. And I understanding. I found a river that passes all understanding. I found a river where the healing waters flow. I found the joy that only comes from knowing Jesus. I found the lover of my soul. Oh, I found a peace that passes all understanding. I found a river, oh, where the healing waters flow. I found a joy that only comes from knowing Jesus. Oh, I found the lover of my soul. I found a peace that passes all understanding. I found a river, oh, where the healing, oh, waters flow. I found a joy that only comes from knowing Jesus. I found the lover of my soul. Oh, I found a peace that passes all understanding. Oh, I found a river where the healing waters flow. I found a joy that only comes from knowing Jesus. I found a that passes all understanding. I found a river where the healing waters flow. I found a joy that only comes from knowing Jesus. I found a He'll make a way for his children, for them to pass all through the sea. He'll open prison doors, he'll set the captive free. So look up, saints, and praise his name. He'll make a way for thee. He'll make a way for his children, for them to pass. Open prison doors, he'll set the captive free. So look up, saints, and praise his name. He'll make a way for thee. He'll make a way for his children, for them to pass through the sea. He'll open prison doors, he'll set the captive free. So look up, saints, and praise his name. He'll make a way for thee. He'll make a way for his children, for them to pass through the sea. He'll open prison doors and set the captive free. So look up, saints, and praise his name. He'll make a way for thee. He'll make a way for his children, for them to pass through the sea. Oh, he'll open prison doors, he'll set the captive free. Oh, so look up, saints, and praise his name. He'll make a way for thee. He'll make a way. captain free. So the cup sings and praises his name. He'll make a way for thee. He'll make a way, oh, for his children, for them to pass through the sea. Oh, he'll open prison doors and set the captive free. So look up, saints, and praise his name. He'll make a way for thee. He'll make a way for his children, for them to pass through the sea. He'll open up prison doors and set the captive free. Oh, so look up, saints, and praise his name. He'll make a way for thee. He'll make a way for his children, for them to pass through the sea. Oh, he'll open up prison doors and set the captive free. So look up, saints, and praise his name. He'll make a way for thee. He'll make a way for his children, for them to pass through the sea. He'll open up prison doors and set the captive free. So look up, saints, and praise his name. He'll make a way for thee.
Praise your name, Lord. Glory, praise your name, Lord. Woo, glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Stay there. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Glory.
They've been practicing, and they're going to practice on us tonight a little bit. You've got a song. You've sang a song here recently. Yeah, you did. Brother Larry sang a song, and Sister Karen was here. What song were y'all practicing? What was that? Brother Larry, what was that? It's been a couple months ago. Sister Karen, what was that song? Well, while they're getting that song together... They're getting the song together. Am I the only one who remembers that?
I remember.
I want to say how good it is to have Brother and Sister Walker back here with us tonight. Weren't they a blessing today for us? I'll tell you what, he stirred the pudding up for us today, didn't he? I like it. That evangelizing. I like it when God brings we love it when God brings visitors to see us, but we love those that add to the pot, help us. We don't turn away help. We take all the help that God can send us. And then your son-in-law, Brother Blaylock, and help me with the rest of the names. Amanda and Brianna. All right. Aren't we glad for them? And then we have a visitor back there, Brother Johnny Morris. Let's give him a good hand, too. Who?
Brother Tony Arouse.
That's two times in a row. That means he's hooked in now. After three times, we don't clap for you anymore. Yeah, we may skip, but it's a cumulative. I'm just thankful for that wonderful spirit that we had here this morning, and I'm thankful. I thought it's been a good day so far with everything that was said. I'll tell you what, the good Holy Ghost can do more in just a few minutes than man can do in a lifetime, and I appreciate that. Someone once said that... you can have enough of the Word of God, but too little of the moving of the Spirit of God. And it's not going to produce what God wants to produce in our life. You know, God wants us to produce fruit. The Bible calls us trees of righteousness, There's nine fruits that that tree is supposed to produce: love and joy and peace. And if you don't have the right mixture, the right combination of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, your fruit's going to be small, maybe even wither up. And then someone said you can have enough of the Spirit of God in your service. The Corinthian church, they had that problem, didn't they? In fact, I would love to have that problem for a while, where all we have is moves of the Spirit, service after service after service. But Paul said, that's wonderful. That's good to have moves of the Spirit like that, but you got to have the Word of God too. And he goes on to say, I'm just putting words in Paul's mouth, but I know enough about what Paul wrote. He gave things, instructions like this. He said, you know, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And he said, the move of the Spirit is wonderful. Let's don't diminish that any at all, but let's give place for the Word of God. Because that Word of God is what will put a foundation under your life. Like Brother Michael and Brother Walker was talking about this morning, having that foundation. Jesus even gave that parable. He said there were two men. One built his house on the sand. You know, if you build your spiritual house on the sand, if you build your faith. Faith comes by hearing, is what the Bible says. Do you know what you hear? And what you allow to influence you is, that's what you're going to believe. That's what you're going to put your hope in. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. And we got to hear the Word of God, but we got to hear the pure, true, unadulterated Word of God. It's like Jesus said in Matthew 24. He said that day is going to come when many are going to come in my name, saying, lo, I'm in a desert place, or lo, I'm in a secret place. He said, go not there, for you won't find me there. There's a lot of people proclaiming to know a lot of things today, but I want to know what the Bible says. I was witnessing to a man one time. I gave him 7 or 8 or 9 scriptures, and I said, well, what do you think about that? And he said, I can't accept that. I said, you can't accept it? And I said, I know what the Bible says there. He says, but I just believe different. And I said, well, wait a minute. If there's 9 or 10 or 11 or 12 scriptures here that says something, and you can't find a single scripture in the Bible to back up what you're saying, he says, yeah. He said, I'm sorry. That's the way I believe. And I thought, oh, God. Talk about casting your pearls before swine. Not to call him a swine, but that's the figure that Jesus used. But I'm telling you, you got to be hunger. You got to thirst. You got to hunger and thirst after righteousness. So I'm thankful for what we've been receiving today. It's putting a foundation. That man who built his house upon the sand. I'm telling you, when you build your house, when you're based upon the solid principles in the Word of God, and that's why even working out of the Old Testament, when I first got saved, I felt a call to the ministry on my life. You can sit down a little bit while you're getting that song. I probably won't talk too long. Just keep working on it. You'll get one. That song that you sang, Sister Karen knows what it is. Help your mother out there. They've already got it figured out. But everybody always spoke out of the New Testament, and I was just 16 years old, and I thought, well, I'm going to become an expert in the Old Testament. I'm going to work out a book of Joel and Amos and Obadiah, and some of them I couldn't even pronounce back then. And so I started reading them. I closed it up, and I said, my God, no wonder people don't preach out of these books. It sounded like a bunch of gibberish to me, but I've come to appreciate the Old Testament, because it really did, even there, the revealing when God took with his own finger and wrote the law, the Ten Commandments, on those two tables of stone, and told Moses to go down and to deal with the people, you know, put it before them constantly. And then over a period of many years, there were 613 other ordinances and commandments that God gave the people to follow. And I don't look at them the same way. I look at them as being a revelation of God's character. When God wrote with his own finger on that table of stone that thou shalt not lie, God wants us to be like that because he's like that. God doesn't lie. He doesn't bear false witness. And then when God said, honor your mother and father, God will honor those things that are worthy of honoring. That's why he wants us to honor those things too. And so as we read through the Old Testament and as we work out of there, it puts a foundation of hope and of faith in our life. And don't you know, in Psalms 119, it says, great peace have they that love thy law. And this is even before the coming of Jesus. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. There was a great blessing for those who just simply followed the natural laws of God in the Old Testament. It created a firm foundation. It made them unshakable. And that's why you can read in some of the books, Brother Smith was talking last weekend about books. And there were several instances in Malachi, especially talking about a book of remembrance. Those that spake off one to another. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they spoke one to another face to face, but just their stand, their conversation, their faith that they showed. Men like Abraham, who were examples to all those that came after him. God told him to do some hard things. He told Abraham to get up and get out. But thank God that he had faith enough and trust in God that he just, without knowing the consequences, without knowing where totally he was going, he had enough trust and faith in God to know that if I do this, God's going to turn it out for the better. So I'm thankful for that foundation of the Word of God that we have in our life. And then it also talks about a man who built his house upon the solid rock, that rock of Jesus Christ, that revelation. Like we were saying in the Bible study this morning, when Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. I like that. Peter started getting a revelation of who Jesus Christ was and what he came to do. And God started giving him a vision. And God started opening his eyes to the plan that he had for Peter and for all those men back there. But there's people today that are building their house on a solid foundation. And it was like Brother Walker was saying, he can talk about the government because he's not in the pulpit. And today, I hate to say it, once in a while, government comes up from around here, and that is, we're saying don't put your trust in government. Don't put your trust in IRAs. Don't put your trust in T-bills. Don't put your trust in retirement. Don't put your trust in Social Security, but let's put our trust in God. Let's put our faith in God. He's that one thing that he's a nail, the Bible calls him, he's a nail in a sure place. He's the one thing that you can hang your hat on, and it's going to be there a year from now. He's that one thing in our life that's immovable. It says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I am God, and I change not. So God, the same yesterday, today, forever. And he's the one that we're building our house on. He's that solid rock, that rock of revelation of who Jesus Christ was. And then when things come your way, when the winds blow, and when the waves crash against your house, the man that built his house upon the sand, it said the house fell, and great was the fall of that house. I want my faith, I want my hope based upon solid principles, based in the Word of God. But the man who built his house upon the solid rock, the same storms that blew against the one house that fell blew against his house, and that house stood because he was solidly anchored into Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm thankful today. We're on a journey, Brother Walker. We're looking for, we don't claim to have it all, but we're looking for it. That's why we don't have articles of faith. We've changed on some things, and we're willing to change on things again because we're looking for the true Word of God. We're looking for what he said. I don't care so much what man says or what a commentary says, but what does God say about it? What does God think about it? I want his mind on that subject. And I know God uses men to reveal his word onto people. Like I was saying, faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. How shall they hear except there be a preacher? And then how shall he preach except he be sent? God is sending anointed men of God today throughout this world, throughout the land, preaching his gospel. Brother Will Souders, of course, he lived years ago, around the turn of the century, and there was a group that was organizing, and they wanted him to join up. This was back during a time where there was really hardly any organizations, all, especially Pentecostal organizations. There was a lot of denominational organizations, but Pentecost had really just started in 1906. They wanted Brother Will Souders, a wonderful preacher. he was just an old, Brother Will Souders was just a real, real crude, roughshod fisherman on the Ohio River. And that's how he made his living. It was his hard way to make a living, but he did that. And he got saved, and he would ferry people across the river free of charge to a camp meeting. And they invited him to come to it, and finally he got saved, and he started hearing about the Holy Ghost. And Will Souders was a man who always wanted, he was plain enough, he was a plain, simple man. He just wanted all that God had for him. So he finally got the Holy Ghost, and several men invited him, because he was a good preacher, to join his organization, become associated with this group. And God started dealing with them. And so finally, God, he noticed that he used to get up and he would preach, and there'd be a great anointing, but that anointing was leaving. And he asked God about it. He said, God, he said, I used to get up and just the power of God would fall down and people would get saved and get the Holy Ghost. What's happening here? Why am I losing that? And God thundered out of heaven. Of course, I don't know if anyone else heard it. You know, God can thunder in your life and nobody else hear it. You know, to you it's a thunder, but to everybody else they don't hear a thing. But the testimony is that God thundered out of heaven and he said, I want you to preach my gospel. You know, Jesus has the gospel. It's just like Jesus said this about all those groups back there. He said, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. That doesn't just naturally mean that he didn't have a place to go and sleep. He always found a place to sleep. That just meant that when he went to the Pharisees, oh, the Pharisees would have accepted him. They sure would have, you know. They'd love to have a man of Jesus' stature that could do all those things. Jesus never would join up with them. That's not why he came. And the Sadducees and the scribes, all those religious groups, all of them, they had their head. But Jesus said, there isn't a group that I've come to that is going to let me be their head. I want Jesus to be my head today. Hallelujah. I want him to be my head, and I want to hear his gospel. So I'm thankful today for what we've been hearing and what we've been receiving. Have I given you enough time to find that song? All right, because I could talk longer if I have to, but I want them to sing that song. I really do. We've been trying to have Sunday nights as more evangelistic. So I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to let him sing, and let's just see what God will have for us. If you feel to give a testimony, to give a song, to preach, we do have an order. We try to do things in God's order, but we let God lead the service like he did today. Do you know if Brother Michael would have had this all wrote out, we would have never given Brother Walker a chance to talk. We would have heard that good things. Brother Walker would have got up to testify, and we said, wait a minute, it's 12 o'clock. We've got to get out of here because the Baptists are going to meet it. They're going to beat us down at Golden Corral. We do have an order here, and that order is we're trying to follow what God wants us to do. We're looking for him. We're looking for his ways, the things that please him in our music, in our talks, in the way we... and everything we do in the services, try to get the Lord to feel welcome to come in. So we know that we've had, you know, that if Jesus comes into the service, it's simply, what is that old saying? It's just simply wonderful. Awfully wonderful. When Jesus comes in, it's just wonderful. How is it? Awfully. Y'all got to help me here. It's awfully simple. But when the Lord doesn't show up and man takes over, it's just simply awful. You get up here and try and remember that. Let's just feel out on the Lord. I don't want this to be simply awful, but it already feels good in here, doesn't it? Feel that good Holy Ghost and be gathered together with God's people. Hallelujah. God bless y'all.
Come on.
whatever the cost. And will time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. I believe that the Christ who was slain on the cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely. Oh, new life is mine, and that is why, oh, by the cross I will stay. Oh, I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever change lives today. For he changed me completely. Oh, a new life is mine, and that is why, oh, by the cross I will stay. Oh, I believe in a hill called on the cross. Oh, he has the power to change lives today. Oh yes, for he changed me completely. Oh yes, a new life is mine, and that is why, oh yes, by the cross I will stay. Woo! Oh,
God is your God and my God. We ain't got but one God.
That's right.
You know, I ain't ashamed to talk.
No, no. I'm going to let you talk, but I'm going to tell you how we do things here. On a day of Pentecost, 3,000 people came into the church that day. And Peter got up and he preached that message. And the last verse in that Bible says, God added daily to the church such as should be saved. I remember I went to a church one time and they set me down in a little chair. And they said, now, does anybody here, and I was only 16 years old, it says, anybody here know any reason why we shouldn't let Roy join the church? And no one ever said anything. Of course, I was scared. I thought somebody saw what I did last week. So I started sweating. I thought, oh, I hope they weren't there, you know, but no one said anything, so they let me in. Brother Morse, you know, yes, how we do things around here is what we do is if God has brought you in here. So we believe that Jesus said this, no man cometh unto the Son except my Father draw him. We believe if you're here, God draw you here. In fact, it's not even really, I know God put a measure of faith in every man's heart, but unless God moves upon you, unless God deals with your heart, you can't even make your way down to the altar to ask forgiveness of sins. So if you're here today, it's because God brought you here. And my advice is just show up and hang around, and God will make you a part. God will make you a part. Aren't we glad for Brother Johnny Morse here? All right. As much as I can say, you're now officially a member of the church.
And I'm going to say this here. God got a hook on me. I can't get loose, y'all. Here. Yeah?
All right. Let's. All right. How? All right, brother. God bless.
Thank y'all.
Glad you're here tonight.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Durham. He's all right. I appreciate the Lord, too. It's good to be here tonight. It's been a good day. Starting out to be a good night. We was blessed yesterday to go to Russellville, Arkansas. And we was in fellowship with a church in Russellville. Matter of fact, there were several churches there. And we had a good service. And good fellowship. And we got to mingle. The Bible talks about mingling our wine. You'll read that in Proverbs 9th chapter. But anyway, we got to mingle a little bit in Russellville, and we go to these meetings to help one another. Really, it's to help whatever church is hosting the meeting. The meeting is primarily to edify that church, lift them up. When the meeting is over, we hope that there's something that happened to benefit that particular church, and whatever way, spiritually, hopefully, sometime naturally, you leave, take up an offering. So we leave natural blessings as well as spiritual blessings. We hope, you know, like Brother Durham said, we come, even in that service, we were not there with any particular plan in mind, any doctrinal issues in mind. We just met together, God's people meeting together. And we was hoping that God would deposit something in that service. And I feel like he did. And we were hoping that God would meet us there. And I feel like he did. So that's what we do. On just a local level, we do that. Even on a fellowship, this is kind of statewide. Not regional, but it's kind of statewide. And we do it the same way. We go there expecting to... we present ourselves to the Lord like we're doing here tonight. Brother Durham didn't know all this was going to take place tonight. We're here presenting ourselves to the Lord, but we're praying that that God will be with us while we're here. It's kind of risky, you know that? You know, just walk up here and start talking, not knowing what you're going to say. But we're serving God. I'm not trying to say anything to make me look good, you know, altogether. But I'm just wanting to lift up the Lord. I want to magnify the Lord. I like to see God's people blessed. You know, if we have that type of attitude, then it kind of takes the risk out of it. You know, I could kind of flub up a little bit, you know, and be sorry I got up. But I might still be sorry I got up. But I want to magnify the Lord. And that's the whole thing, you know. We read the Old Testament, we read the New Testament, we look at the early church and see how they had services. I've talked to people that said, "Well, they didn't have music in the early church." Well, you know, they did sing hymns. You know, they did sing songs. They may not have had a guitar, I don't know, but they, you know, you don't get to read everything. But when we have music in the church, we are trying to bring the Lord. We are trying to help us to condition ourselves. You know, the Bible tells us to gird up our mind. Maybe sometime it might take a little music to gird up your mind, to be able to get your mind on the Lord. You know, I don't know what all you did. Well, maybe today you've been good today, I hope. But anyway, sometime we come in this place. And no telling what all you've done in the run of a day, you know. No telling what took place. But when we get here, we try to gird up our mind in such a way that we want to lift up the Lord. We hear, somebody said, we're here on business for the King. You know, that's the whole purpose of us meeting here today. We're here to magnify the Lord. Lift his name up. He said if he be lifted up from the earth, he will draw all men unto him. And that's what we're trying to do. Lift him up. Somebody mentioned that today about the serpent that Moses lifted that had him in Bible study. Anyway, that was, they had to do was just look up on this serpent that Moses made in the Old Testament. And they was having trouble with the snakes biting them, serpent bites. He just said, look up on this serpent, and you'll be healed. You think everybody looked up on it? Some of them may not have looked. I don't know. But that's all they had to do is look up on this serpent, and they'd be healed. You know, our nature that we were born with caused us a lot of trouble. We can't raise ourselves up by our own bootstraps. So we have to have help. I can't change my nature. I can present myself to the Lord, and if I can begin to see what Moses was trying to do for the children of Israel, I can say, well, if I need that kind of help, I need to look up on somebody. I need to be able to look to somebody. So I'm going to have to look to Jesus. You know, just like Moses raised that serpent up in the wilderness. That's the same way we're going to have to begin to raise up Christ. Somehow he got to be lifted up in our life. You know, I mean, I can do a lot of things, you know, naturally, some things. But it's going to take Christ. That's the revelation that I got. It's going to take him in my life. I got to lift him up. I appreciate your testimony, what God has done for you. But I got to have my testimony. We're saved by what? The word of the Lamb and our testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So, and believe it or not, not just, you know, words. Something about words. Sometimes, you know, you can speak words and they can mean something, they cannot mean something. But it's more than just words. Our testimony is how we live. It's not just words. It's how we live. Not just when I meet with you, but when you don't see me. How I live is my testimony. And that's what I want to have, the type of testimony that will be effective. You know, we meet people in this world. At our walks of life, we meet, run into people like Brother Durham was talking to this gentleman. I retired now, but anyway, I had my boss. One time we was having a Christmas potluck or something. But anyway, he mentioned having prayer, and this lady was going to pray over the food, and he said that why don't you have James to pray? He's a real Christian. You know, that could be a compliment, but I mean, coming from a man, you know, that. You know, I look at him, I kind of take my hat off to him because he had four children. They all graduated from college. One of them is a doctor. One of his children got a daughter that's a doctor. A couple of boys that's engineers. He and his wife got a divorce in the midst of all this before they got through college. But yet he called me a real Christian. And I can't, you know what I'm saying? I can't And you know where my daughter is. But I'm just saying, you can take things that people say about you. Don't just take it, you know, and get too excited about it. I want to live that. I don't care what people say, but I want my life to line up with what people, you know, what they're saying and what they think. You know, I don't want people just to think, but I want my life to line up, and that's what my endeavor is. That's what I'm working hard with serving God is to for my life to be a living testimony, a praise. We are to have a life that is a praise. Our life can be a praise to the Lord the way we live, and that's my endeavor. So I'm just thankful that we are here tonight to be able to magnify the Lord, to have an opportunity to magnify his name and realize if we lift him up and help and not think about ourselves too much, but think about him, the life that he lived, an unselfish life, not doing his own will. He said he was here to do the will of him that sent him, his Father. And I do a lot of things I know is what I want to do, but I know that I'm working. That's my aim. We're on what we were saying today about we're on a journey as well too, but we was talking about our steps. Brother Mike was giving us these instructions in the Second Peter, first chapter, the steps that we're to take. If we continue to take these steps in the Lord, we're on our way. We may not be there. He didn't proclaim that he was there, but he's on his way. And I'm on my way. And I want to continue to walk with the Lord. I want to continue to take these steps. Brother, who was saying that? Faith, Andrew, was saying that he felt like that was one of the maybe the most difficult, the hardest one, is to believe, have faith. Before we can, you know, before you can do any other one, you got to believe. That's the first step. And I want to do it. I want to believe God when it seems like unbelievable. Believe Him when, like they said today, on the circumstances when it seemed like maybe it's impossible. But God has already said that He will be with us. He said He will never forsake us, never leave us. And I want to believe that. And I know there'll be difficult times ahead for me. I know, you know, we're going to have that. I was thinking in Russellville, we was talking about, I was thinking when Moses was, when God was calling him and he got, he caught attention to this burning bush that was burning but never was consumed. He saw this tree, this bush that was burning, but it was just burning. It was amazing to him, you know. It got his attention. And I was thinking that in our lives, we're going to have things to come against us. We're going to have trials. Peter called some trials. He called them fiery trials. And I was thinking the other day that I know a lot of this talk about the ministry, that work's going to be tried by fire. And it talks about having things, you know, that things, some things burn, some things don't burn. Fire don't destroy everything. Some things fire destroy and some things fire preserve. And that's what we're to have in our life. I know it talks about a ministry, his work, you know, could be destroyed by fire, but he wants to, if he's saved out of it, that's good. But even in our individual lives, I think we're to incorporate in our lives things that will be able to abide the fire, the way I look at it. Some things in our lives that we can incorporate in our lives. I know our Adamic nature, if we, you know, not lean enough on the Lord to help him, you know, the Bible tells us to mortify the deeds of the flesh. If we lean too much on the things of the flesh, those things won't survive the fire. But if you take the things that are worth something and God, you know, gold, pure gold, silver, precious stones, they can survive the fire. If we get things in our life that's gonna be substantial and valuable things spiritually that will keep us. Because we will be facing things. We will have fire that we'll have to go through in this life. And we have to have something in our lives to be able to keep us. To be able to keep us when things seem like nothing else is around us that's look like going to make it, you know, when we're in impossible situation. So that's why we lean on the Lord. That's why we hear instruction. We hear things that I like to hear different, you know, perspective on things and hear from other men. Brother Walker today, I heard, enjoyed what he said and how to we're to trust the Lord in all that we do and hear someone else talk about from another perspective. You know, Jesus spoke a lot of times in his ministry about farmers and farm life, you know, animals, that kind of thing. I was around a few animals growing up, but I'm not that well acquainted with raising cattle or livestock, that kind of thing. I know kind of what they're talking about, but I'm not that familiar with it. I know, but, you know, you have to deal with what you know about. And But I know just like the things in our lives that can abide the fire, you know, we know that trials, fiery trials or whatever come against us, then that wind blows against us too. And there's an illustration, see, about wheat. The part I know about threshing wheat is machinery, not the way they did in the Old Testament, where you had a fan and it, who was explaining that just the other day about this chaff, you know. If you got too much chaff in your life, and when the fan that's going to come and thoroughly purge the floor, it's going to be wheat that's going to be left. If it's too much chaff in my life, what's the wind going to do for me? It's going to blow me away, right? It's going to blow me away. So things are going to come against us. And only the thing that's going to be able to survive that threshing process is wheat. It's going to be preserved. It's going to stay. It's going to be on the floor when all the wind stop blowing. And that's what I'm trying to do in my life. I want to have things in there. I want to have wheat. I want to have, we get a lot of, we hear a lot of things that are gold nuggets to us about the truth of God. And we, somebody say, we hear a lot of things that are really, really golden truth and precious stones. Those things can survive. If we have them in our life, like Brother Durham was explaining to us today, this morning, you know, about having knowledge in our life and eventually understanding and eventually letting that understanding and knowledge become part of us, become wisdom, and become part of our life to where it's part of us. You know, it's who I am. And that's what we're endeavoring to do. You know, we are to be eventually like, I don't know, was it Peter that, that would have been Paul, that talks about being written epistles, you know, read of men. You know, that's, you know, our lives. You know, we're not just thinking about what we're going to do, but this is what we do. You know, we don't have to think about it, but this is what we do. This is how we live. And that's what we're endeavoring to do. That's our goal. That's our goal, is to have this in our life. And sometime I feel ashamed of myself sometimes if I, you know, somebody said, how long you been in that church? Well, been in a long time. Might not even want to tell you how long, but anyway. But it's not necessarily the years. It's how you, they say the quality of time that you, what you do with your time. You know, you can spend a lot of time doing things and you can mock, in the military we call it mocking time. You know, you just, marking time. You're not moving. I mean, you're moving in one place. You're not going anywhere. You're just marking time. And you can do that in this life. You can spend a lot of time, I don't want to say doing nothing, but I mean, it's not profitable. We want things that's profitable in our life, that's going to help us. Help us to go on and help us to grow and mature in the things of the Lord. We want to be mature Christians. Not just to say we are, but to be into a Christian. We are to grow up. Paul tells us to grow up in the things of the Lord. So I'm thankful to be in a place where I have an opportunity to grow up in God and someday be a light, if our lives be a light. So I'm thankful tonight. Brother Dew, I'm thankful that God is allowed me together here with you people and to be able to let you hear, feel what I'm thinking. And I want to go with you. I want to be a part of what the Lord is doing.
Right there. Keep walking. saw these people, I thought they were going to follow up with on an old rugged cross. You know, I don't want to go home frustrated. So let's all sing on an old rugged cross, huh? But please put the words up because I don't know it. On a hill, everybody sing. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish your rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling and exchange it someday for a crown. On that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Frustrated anymore.
Praise God. Very good.
To be here. It really is. It's a definitely a breath, fresh a breath air. The other day I was talking to a friend of mine that was in Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, and he was headed to Texas, and so we were talking on the phone, and he starts to head out, and his truck stops, just flat dies on the road, and he says, "Well, I'll call you back in a little bit if I can figure out what's wrong," and I said, "Okay, call me back when you get everything figured out," and so he calls me back, and he says, "You know," he says, "they took the load away from me. I don't have a load to go to Texas. I can't go home for the holidays," and just, you know, negative, 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 negative. And I was like, "Gary," he's like, "What?" I said, "Think about it this way." I said, "Are you alive?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I said, "Today the Lord has blessed you once again because he's given your life." I said, "You don't know what's going to happen down the way." I said, "Either breaking down here or breaking down on the road, causing an accident or being in an accident." And, you know, he's like, "You know, you're right, David. You are just totally right about that." And I said, "You know," I said, "Yeah, it's just a blessing to you." And last night I went down to Pine Bluff to pick up a load for Tyson going to Grandview, Washington. And I wasn't planning on wouldn't be here tonight. And got down to Pine Bluff, 2 a.m. this morning, pick up that load to go to Grandview, Washington. Shipping department went home. They said, "Oh, they'll be back at 7, between 7 and 8 this morning." Okay, I'll be back. 7, 8 this morning, shipping department is at home. Construction people and cranes are all over that place down there. I called dispatch. And they said, "Well, we'll get back to you." Then he forgot about me, so I called him again. And I said, "Well, what do you want me to do?" He said, "Can you drop the trailer?" I said, "Yeah, I can drop the trailer." He says, "You drop the trailer. Go back in Monday morning, pick up that load going to Grandview, Washington. You will bring it here to Harrison. They are going to put a team on it. You are not going to Washington." I thank the Lord for that. Granted, it is some good miles to go, but I don't need it because I know I'm in the hand of the Lord. And if that's what the Lord wants, that's completely fine with me. And I just love him and want to give him thanks.
Here's a mic right here. Amen. Well,